and 5. Turn to that. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Praise your Father. Lord, I'm excited about you. Praise God. Praise God. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Thus saith Jehovah. Boy, I love that. Don't you like that? Thus saith Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existent one, the everlasting one. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. The word cursed there means doomed. Doomed is the man that trusteth in man. Boy, isn't that the truth? Doomed is a man who trusteth in man. I believe one of our greatest challenges we have as a Christian is don't trust in ourselves. Don't trust in each other. Don't trust in man, but trust in God. For the man that trusteth in himself is doomed. And maketh flesh his arm. And maketh flesh his arm. What does that mean? The arm in the Bible stands for power. The right arm of God is the power of God. But if a man makes his power flesh, his ability to think, his ability to work, his ability to love, his ability to endure, if you make your strength flesh, you'll be doomed. And whose heart departeth from Jehovah. A person whose heart gets distracted. The heart is the very center, the very core of your being, the very core of your... For so many times, we depart from Jehovah. We depart from God for different reasons. We let things get in our way, and our heart slowly departs and floats away from God. You know, people always get in these debates about, once you're saved, are you always saved? Can God lose you out of his hands? Whatsoever's been committed into the hands of the Father, no way shall he lose it, the Bible says. He is able to make you stand. He is able to confirm in you to the end that which he started. Many great scriptures that tells us that he can hold on to us. That he can give us eternal security. But see, they fail to realize that we are free moral agents and we can depart from the living God. God has not made us robots. God has not enslaved our wills. We still have the ability to depart from the living God. Now, most of the time, we do not depart from him because we decide to, but we become deceived by Satan. We become deceived by him, and we slowly start drifting, and he's holding on to us. His hand, his arm is long, it says in Isaiah. It's not shortened. He holds on to us. But we drift so far out that we then make a decision to depart from God. We drift so far out that we become confused. We drift so far out that our emotions become disarrayed. We drift so far out that we're easier distracted. We become more offended, easily offended. We become critical. We become empty in our own feelings and emotions toward God. And then there's a point that we actually in our will depart from God. It is a dangerous thing to be adrift upon the seas of life. Very, very dangerous to be adrift upon the seas of life. I wrote a poem once entitled something about ships being adrift upon the seas of life, I think is the way it was. And we so many times allow ourselves to go adrift instead of keeping right tucked into the mother's ship in his safety. But back to the scripture here. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. The Bible says, doomed is a man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his strength. whose heart departeth from God. If you do that, then you will not even be able to see good when it cometh your way. There'll come a day that you cannot recognize God's direction in your life. There'll come a day that you cannot hear His voice, that you cannot see the opportunity that knocks upon your heart. There'll come a day that you will be darkened and separated. It'll be like you're in the middle of a desert without any shade, without any protection. And the Bible encourages us to take note of this. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. In our hearts will be in a wilderness. In a salt land not inhabited. Blessed. Oh, now we're going to get into the blessed part. I was waiting for that, wasn't you? Blessed is a man that trusteth in God. Now what does it mean, trusteth in the Lord? Trusteth in Jehovah. That means that you decide that He is faithful. And you rest in Him. That He is able. That He becomes your strength instead of flesh. Blessed is the man who trusteth in Jehovah, whose hope is Jehovah is. And this is the text, this next verse for the sermon this morning. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. That may not be laden with all the worry when the drought does come. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's a beautiful verse, and that's the verse I'm going to develop in the sermon this morning. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Bible says your main enemy here is deceit. Your heart can be deceived so easily sometimes. And you cannot lose in this battle against Satan if you do not become deceived. Only through deception can we lose. Because no one would turn against God and depart from such a beautiful Lord and Savior except when they allow themselves to become deceived. And then slowly they depart from the Lord. But here in verse 8 it says, it talks about a tree that's planted by the water. And it talks about the green leaf in that verse. Now that brings to my mind two things. You've got a purpose. Your purpose is to bear fruit. That fruit is a testimony. That testimony overcomes Satan, founded in the blood of the Lamb. If you become a fruitful tree, then you have fulfilled your purpose. But if you try to live unto yourself and do not bear fruit, God says in John that you're cut from the vine. Don't live unto yourself. Don't draw from yourself, but don't live unto yourself either. Don't draw from your own powers and thoughts and judgments and ideas and opinions and strength. But neither, once you draw from Christ, don't ever try to live unto yourself. Take care of you and yours. Because your whole purpose in this life is to bear fruit, to be a testimony to all the heavenlies, the Bible tells us, all those inhabitants of the heavenlies. Now let's go back over and see what that verse has said. It's a review. The sun's resurrection power is what's going to bring life to you. It's going to cause a river to flow deep within you. It's the Holy Spirit. And you must direct your roots toward that river. You must direct your roots towards that river. You can direct your roots wherever you want them. Do you want to depend upon the dry land? Or do you want to depend upon the water? So you direct your roots by reading the Word of God and being conscious of His presence. You direct your roots towards the water, and then you rest. You rest in it. The water and the sun and the Spirit, will bring about all the fruit in your life if you just rest in it. Just tune that in to and forget about everything else. Some of you are thinking about too many things. You're too concerned about your growth. You're too concerned about what's taking place in your mind and heart. You're too concerned about things around you. You're battling with trying to tune things out. You're battling trying to cause yourself to be. If you feed your spirit, you're going to grow. Feeding your spirit doesn't always mean what you think it does. Sometimes people can feed their spirit and turn right around and feed their beast more. You can feed your beast in your thought process. You see. You need to just rest in the whole thing. And the Lord will do His work in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm just waiting upon the Lord to see if He wants to get anything else out of that verse. Praise God. I feel like that certain people here today need to really absorb that. Some of you are not in a position you needed that. But then you should use that as this sermon as a tool to tell somebody else if you need an illustration. You've learned an illustration this morning that you can use to minister to somebody else when you're trying to help them understand resting in Christ. When you're trying to help them understand drawing from Christ's life. What's their part? What's God's part? This is a good illustration for that in God's Scripture. Some of you need to absorb the meaning behind it so that you can become strong. Some of you are still not in the Word. How many would be honest to say and lift your hand and say, I'm not really in the Word on a daily basis? Can I see your hands? Okay, being honest about it. And there's several of you that you are. But see, the Bible says you're doomed in verse 5. You're doomed if you don't draw from the right source. And by reading the Word, you're directing your roots towards that source, towards the water, towards the Spirit, towards the Son. So let's please don't continue to be lax in that, be lazy, being distracted, being deceived. Please get into the Word. Everybody in this church, if we was all in the Word like we should, we'd be much stronger. Much stronger. And we'd be helping other people, still drawing from people. And those of you who are in the Word and you're still fighting it, you're still having problems, maybe you're trying to grow and you're trying to bear fruit. The tree cannot bear fruit upon its own. The tree cannot cause it to happen. The tree cannot even add one little cubit to its size. It's all the work of the sun and the water. The sun and the Spirit. You have to rest in your valleys as well as mountaintops. You've got to rest in your weaknesses as well as your strengths. You've got to rest in your sin as well as your righteousness, God's righteousness. You've got to rest in it. It's God's responsibility to cleanse you from sin. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your heart. It's God's responsibility to renew your mind and transform your mind. You cannot take that responsibility on yourself. And I think I'm speaking to three or four people this morning real strongly on that. You cannot take that responsibility on yourself. You're right where you're at because that's where you're at in the process of growing. You need to accept your weaknesses as part of you. You need to accept your sin as being just where you're at. Accept your emotional situation and yourself. Say, that's just where I'm at in my process of growing. But see, what we do, we are so insecure, we don't want to accept where we're at. If we see ourselves worse than what we'd like to be, we don't accept it. We fight, we wrestle with it, and it discourages us. Because we would like to think of ourselves as being better than where we're at. And that's a false sense of pride. And it'll depress you, get you down on yourself. If you accept your defects as being right where you're at, it's part of the ballgame. It's part of the process. And stop trying to say, well, I should be better, or I should be more. No, you shouldn't be. You should be right where you're at this time, in this place. Boy, if you only could accept that, you would grow so much faster. We can only hinder growth. We can't cause it to happen. And remember this, as long as you're planted by the water, though, you can't completely stop it from happening either. You know, you can hinder the growth of the tree, but you can't stop it